You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking and joking about it together. I'm comedian Tom Walma.
I'm Robert Jenkins.
I'm Brent Von Kellner, too.
And Patrick, you're still there, right?
Yeah, sorry, Patrick Fowler.
And this is Creativity Wasted. Who wants to go first with their idea?
I'll go first.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'll go first. My idea, I guess for people who don't know me, I'm a comic, and I do a lot of jokes about kind of social issues. That tends to be like the topic that I discuss the most. So for my idea, I wanted to try and solve a social problem. And the problem I thought about was gun violence, gun violence and school shootings. I know that that's been something in the, it's been in the public eye for with intense focus for the past little bit. So I developed a three-part plan to try and curb some of the gun violence and, I guess, some of the, gun worship in the United States. There's three parts to it. I'll say the parts, and then I'll go back, and I guess we can kind of fill in the blanks. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. The first part is a service that I've developed. Basically, the service is rehabilitating potential school shooters. So you have 7-year-old, if you got a 7-year-old white kid and you don't know if he's a school shooter or not, you send them to me, and I put them through our program, and then we turn them out, turn them back. Basically, I'm flipping small white children.
Seven.
The first part.
Seven's kind of young.
Seven is the age where you don't know whether you're going to lose them or not. Like, by the time they're seven, you can look at them and tell if they got an issue or not.
So
if they haven't made eye contact with you, or they ask for trench coats, or all types of weird stuff like that. You're like, we might need somebody. We might need a kid whisperer to talk to him and get him right before he goes off. So that's my service. That's the first part of the plan. The second part is for high school kids. It's a school shooter exchange program. So the idea is this. A lot of these school shooters, they feel like they're being bullied in school. They aren't being understood. Maybe people are mean to them. And so what we should do is we take those kids and we send them to inner city schools so they'll see what real bullying is like.
I thought you were going to say ship them overseas. Let them worry about it.
No, American solutions to American problems. Damn it. We're making America great again. So you take these kids that are in suburban or rural areas, you ship them to inner city high schools, and then you let nature run its course. The third step to my plan is something I think everybody can get on board with, and this will apply to people who graduated from high school and people who collect all these firearms. Like, for example, America has 370 million firearms. We have essentially one firearm for every person. However, two-thirds of Americans don't own a firearm. So what that means is one-third of Americans have all the firearms. Now, there are many reasons that people buy these firearms. Some of them like to hunt, but most of it is, other nefarious purposes. since we live in a capitalist society, it's very hard to get people to stop buying a product just because it's unsafe or because people don't like it. What you have to do is you have to give them something better to spend their money on. So the final portion of this plan is that we legalize prostitution.
Okay. I'm with you on that one.
Oh, shit. I had that idea the other day specifically. Because if those kids got off, they wouldn't be shooting everyone.
Well,
in my life,
so
never have I ever decided to feel like shooting somebody after I busted up. Never, not once.
Now wait, is it legal for
not even like
kids to see the prostitutes? That's a little dicey.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. These are going to be seasoned professionals.
Okay, so this is for the adults, like the Adam Lanza, graduated a couple of years ago.
These men's rights activists, and you see these guys that like have the AR-15 slung across their back at like Denny's. Like, you know that these guys don't spend their off time just crushing pussy. Like, they probably, they've hit a dry spell since the 80s. So, if we had legalized prostitution, I'm sure that they would find something else to spend their money on.
I'm with you on that one. The first two, however, so your plan to prevent bullied kids from lashing out is to single them out when they're seven and separate them from the other kids, give them a label as a bad seed, and then in their teens send them somewhere to get bullied even more, where it's easier to buy untraceable guns. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, first off, I think when we talk about guns, the guns that we get, the guns that they get in inner city pale in comparison to what these kids have. So I don't think they're going to be able to get more accessible, more dangerous firearms. I think that these kids, a lot of them don't have any real like interaction with people that are different from them. They feel ostracized where they are. I think a change of scenery might actually do them some good, in fact. That way, when they come back to their high school or to their area, they may actually be more well-rounded. It's just like a regular exchange program, except they get to hang around other Americans.
It sounds to me like you just want them to get beat up in the inner city.
Yeah, it sounded like you were just feeding them to a larger bully, but is it just your plan to re-socialize them by dropping them in a place where they're in a completely new place in the hierarchy of the building?
It's essentially scared straight.
How long would they be in the
We think the program would last roughly 6 weeks.
Oh, that's not
so
too
bad. It wouldn't be a very long time.
Okay.
6 weeks.
Yeah, that makes more sense than what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're not talking about years here. We're talking about this, basically a 6 week program, get them exposed to different areas, different cultures. They may actually have stuff to talk about when they get back to their regular school.
I'm sort of leaning back to the prostitution idea. So obviously you can't allow kids to go to prostitutes, but
exactly.
Yeah. Look forward to in high school.
So we know kids watch porn. We know kids watch porn. We don't endorse it. Maybe it's not legal to sell porn to kids. Probably not. But
I would say not. Yes,
they end up with it anyway. So if we, let's say we come up with sex dolls for kids, hypothetically, and they're not only sex dolls, they're programmed to train the kids to socialize. Like, they get mad if he doesn't make eye contact or treat her nice, whatever. So it's not just a sex doll. It's a human training device, socializing device.
I think you're
device.
Just trying to take jobs away from human prostitutes.
But the thing is, this would be for high schoolers.
Well, the thing is, if you think about the kid who is going to shoot up the school because he got rejected by a girl and he decided he's never going to get laid in his life. If prostitution is legal for adults, that kid can just say, one day I'll be 18 and I'll have $80.
Yeah.
Due to market forces, it may not even be $80.
Yeah, I mean, $80 isn't that bad of a starting goal.
Yeah.
And another...
I mean, not rock bottom, but they can still have insurance and stuff.
For $80, she'll use both her hands. I mean...
I mean, the whole sex doll thing, if you can't sell kids pornography, you certainly can't sell them sex toys.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's a great one.
Okay. You wouldn't have to call them that. You could call them something else and sort of squeak by.
Call them dolls.
But,
dolls.
Yeah, maybe that's a bad idea. I had Kiram Sheik on, the comic from Ann Arbor, who's a retired police officer. And his idea for the podcast was to legalize prostitution. And I found that interesting that the cop wanted to legalize prostitution.
The cop and the lawyer and the teacher all disagreed on something.
He probably knows best how to allocate resources. I mean, there's other stuff that they probably could be doing instead of stopping people from busting a nut.
So, Brent, you disagree or agree with the legalizing prostitution?
I agreed with that point.
Oh, you agree?
Yeah.
Will you get fired for saying that? Of course, you're not using your real last name.
I can't verify that Brent von Kalamazoo is not my real name.
I find it so odd. I've had about 5 teachers over the past 2 years on the podcast, and
all of them have fake names?
Yep. All of them had fake names. And I find that so...
You know, there's a reason for that.
Orwellian. It's horrible. And they're not even, like, not always talking about prostitution and politically incorrect things.
Well, but to do stand-up comedy, I'm like 100% positive that that should be on the record about.
Okay, but yeah, that's fucked up that our society is so anti-free speech that teachers can't do comedy with their real
names. Another teacher.
What?
Go ahead.
If talking about that stuff bothered people, we wouldn't have the president we have, so...
Yeah, I mean... I guess, yeah, it bothers some people, and it really, really doesn't bother other people. But, yeah, back to the stopping school shootings thing. I think we just need to slowly, over generations, just slowly dislike guns more. Like... I think that'll just happen automatically. Like, I would imagine that less kids hunt than their parents. Like, I'm a kid who my dad was a bow hunter and deer hunter, and I'm not. I would imagine 2 or 3 generations from now, there'll be almost no hunters. So I think that'll just go away on its own, to be honest.
assuming America continues on its standard trajectory, I mean, we are basically, we're like one bill away from the Hunger Games at this point. So hunting might actually come back in handy.
Yeah, if society did collapse and people had to hunt for food, I think all the animals would be gone in like weeks. So yeah, I'm not concerned about that. But yeah, I think just over decades, less people interested in guns, and maybe our grandchildren will be able to completely take away the guns because there's so few people left that care about them. So I say we just don't do shit. We just ignore the issue. Just let it sort itself out.
Well, I mean, it's not objectively that people can't have guns. It's that exactly the wrong people have guns. The heavily loaded people who have all the guns that he mentioned, those are exactly not the people that I want to have be on top of a Mad Max warlord scenario. I support a form of gun control where we take all of the guns away and give them to the people who do not have guns.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be.
I would support that.
What?
And then if they complained about that, then they would be outnumbered by the people who now have guns.
So I'm sort of afraid to shoot guns. Do I have to shoot the gun? So you give me some gun nuts gun. Do I have to shoot it?
I think you have to take a class.
Yeah, classes are good.
I think everybody should have to take the class.
Yeah, I took a handgun safety class, and it was funny because the first thing they do is try to scare you to death. So, like, they show you a video of somebody getting mugged or, like, an old white lady getting pushed down. And then everybody was like, oh, I need a gun. So they spend the first few minutes scaring the shit out of people. And I thought it was hilarious, personally. But, yeah, they spend the first thing they do is make everybody afraid. There's this whole culture of fear around these guns, and these people cling to them because they think that everybody else is out to get them.
Yeah, I think that fear-mongering is, yeah, part of the problem for sure. Even on the left, like they called the march against guns, they called it Fight for Our Lives. Like, even though...
Yeah, but that's legitimate fear.
No, it's not.
Especially the people who... the people who organized it were people who got shot at.
Yeah.
Like,
so they're just...
The old lady who's afraid that every black guy on the street is going to mug her doesn't have a legitimate fear.
Yeah, but, well, I would argue that those kids who were shot at, society should not be swallowing their fear-mongering. We should understand that, yeah, they're traumatized and they want to lash out, but we should just ignore it. We should be better than – we don't need to make every high school kid in America live needlessly in fear for something that has a 0.05% chance of happening or whatever it is.
Yeah, but the occurrence of mass shootings in schools is often enough that it changes the whole culture of schools.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
They can't ignore it. The whole system has been magnifying it.
Yeah.
I've been in live shooter drills.
Yeah, that's insane.
Cops shot at me with an air gun. I pretended to shoot him with a fire extinguisher. It was weird.
The one good thing
about all of these school shootings is for the first time, inner city schools don't seem so bad.
Yeah. We
have like yet to have an inner city school mass shooting.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong. Kids get shot in the inner city at school, but here's the problem. Here's the difference. Black kids shoot whoever they mad at. That's
like specifically.
They find the person they mad at and they shoot them, and then they might run or something. They don't kill the lunch lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although going back to point two of your plan, I really like the idea of the typical angry rural white school shooter moving to an inner city school and trying to shoot it up. But he's not the only one packing heat.
Yeah.
So he's just mowed down in a scene that horrifically validates the NRA's worst ideas.
That is also sounds like the beginning of a nice Disney movie. You have a white kid that goes to the inner city, and then all of a sudden he knows how to break dance.
Yeah. I mean, it's a funny idea, but I really think
after the shoot, after everybody points guns at each other, they all like form a breakdancing team.
They solve it by a competitive dance.
Because white guys know how to dance so well.
Yeah. After training, or the gym. You know, they always.
I mean, haven't you seen movies?
Right.
Have you seen Doctor Strange?
Is there dancing in Doctor
Strange?
Slide
on in there.
Or Save the Last Dance. What's the other one? There are a bunch of other ones where white people's dancing skills improve dramatically.
Well,
do they end up being the best people or just among the crew?
Let's not get carried away here.
I was thinking that it was more like a Last Samurai situation.
Yeah, that movie was ridiculous, and Tom Hanks shouldn't act in any movies anymore.
That was a while ago. He probably should have called it quits with
every
that.
Every movie that he made after that he shouldn't have made.
Well, let's move on to the other people's ideas. Who wants to go next?
I'll shoot. Why not?
You'll shoot? Okay.
Because I didn't realize... I was worried when I thought it was about technologies and things.
It can be any sort of idea. It can be
planned.
Go ahead.
I don't want to bore you with my plans to fix education or the police or World Hunger. My plan, my greatest plan, is that we should have a military parade. Specifically, one so epic that the logistics and planning and execution take at least 3 years and occupy the entire federal government.
So they can't...
Coast to coast with parade?
What was that?
It's like coast to coast, like LA to New York parade?
Yes. Coast to coast. Like all the way around. Canada to Mexico. It'll police all the borders simultaneously.
Kind of like it'll just across America, but with like assault rifles.
Now, I mean, it wouldn't just be assault rifles, like, and it wouldn't just be tanks with, like, gold and the letter T on them, but it would have those things. What it would have would just be everything that Donald Trump asked for in the entire process, no matter how long it takes, and especially if we can draw it out. Like, he should have a platinum Zeppelin full of hookers that he can marshal the parade from.
So it's just a distraction to keep people
and,
from doing shittier
tigers
stuff.
Tigers in armor and knights and just anything that occupies all of his time. It's actually most of my plan. That's pretty much my plan. The one-point plan.
The Tigers will get tired. You know, this whole nationwide parade.
I can't hear Patrick Fowler.
So I think the Tigers would get tired in this nationwide parade. Other than that, solid plan.
I mean, you can just get enough Tigers that some of them are walking and some of them are in cages resting. And they can be in shift. I don't care how much it costs.
That might be good for fat people to lose weight, solve the obesity crisis,
too.
Can't we
feed the economy?
Can't we feed people to the Tigers?
It's more of a whatever occupies Caesar's time sort of thing, so sure.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't do anything else.
Okay. I support
because if our entire military is walking around the country, then it isn't deployed anywhere else.
Are we going to call home all the troops that are across the world? We call them back to be in the parade, too?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Whatever's necessary.
Or if they had, like, their own parades where they're stationed, that'd be cool, too. Also across whatever country they're stationed in.
They actually parade directly on the planes and then land the planes in the parade and then continue parading.
We could have like a USO.
Landing or crashing?
What's that?
Landing or crashing?
What's that?
Into the parade.
Both. It should what be like an episode of Metalocalypse.
What type of float will there be?
Like a regular military parade, but with like they're all Master P Platinum tanks and like also a circus parade at the same time.
Okay.
And also just train cars full of hookers, I think.
Now, here's an important question for me. Who would be the Grand Marshal?
Oh, I mean, Donald Trump is the Grand Marshal.
So the plan is to make him walk all across the country.
Actually, he was going to be in the Platinum Zeppelin hovering above the front of the parade.
Okay.
That'll require him to walk less, but it's also slow.
Right. He could stay in the three years.
What's that?
The idea of Trump walking sounds kind of like more of a forced march, which is also pretty cool to me, too. They're both fine
plans. Yeah, but we're trying, like, I want it to seem like it's his idea. Also, it has to be at least 3 years long, even though that will occupy, so when he gets to the end of the parade, he's like, okay, I'm ready to continue being president. And they're like, oh, you stopped being president 6 months ago.
Right. Oh, we have to president. Have it last, you would have to have it last through the campaign season. So he didn't try to run again because he'd be too busy with the
right,
parade.
Right, he was completely occupied, so it was Mike Pence versus Oprah.
Oprah wins.
Yeah.
Going away.
You just find, like, he just finds out in early summer that he stopped being president in January. And they just kind of let him have the rest of the parade. So he, like, got all the way around.
I think Trump would get bored and he would call them the shitty states or something. And then there'd be a big scandal. He would just go around Mar-a-Lago golf course over and over again for 3 years. Something weird would happen with that.
Oh, no, that's why you have him in a hotel-sized vehicle up front full of drugs and luxury. And mini-golf. No reason you can't have mini-golf on a Zeppelin in a parade.
I think that the parade should stop right at Bob Mueller's office.
That it should be what's at Bob Mueller's office?
It should stop right at his office.
The beauty of this plan is that it doesn't matter what happens in the Russia investigation. You have the FBI office on wheels following in the parade.
Okay.
Would we have to pay people to watch the parade, or how would we? Trump might get upset if there's nobody in the audience, so we might have to pay people to pretend to like the parade.
You'd like literally just pull them away from the windows,
well,
and then play a recording of applause.
But his supporters would line up and watch him.
Yeah, they totally would.
They're just as ridiculous as he is.
When one of them would shoot,
that would be even better.
One of them would shoot a gun in the air just because that's what they do, and then they would shoot down the Golden Zeppelin, and it would be over. Is that too?
Probably.
You know what's funny is that about your Zeppelin and blimp type things is that rednecks try to shoot them down all the time in real life.
What?
You look this up. The Goodyear blimp you generally survive being shot by a farmer with a .22 or whatever, which apparently happens all the time.
Do they think it's an alien spaceship or something? Or do they just want to shoot it?
No. They just like to shoot it.
They think it's an enormous balloon.
Someone's having more fun than they are. They want to stop it.
That's true.
Fun to be in a blimp.
Well, it's a nice, silly idea. I think we're running out of steam with it.
That's fine.
Who wants to go next? Patrick?
Yeah. I feel like my idea has been sort of outdated by technology already, but I thought of having like a Truman Show type reality channel that just kind of shows people how to do day-to-day life stuff good.
Are you on speaker? Can you, if you are, can you, okay. The sound quality.
Can you hear me now better?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, sorry about that. All right. My idea was to have a, which I think has already been outdated, but having sort of like a reality TV channel, like the Truman Show, but like showing showing people how to do like life skills good. That makes any sense? Like a guy going through his day-to-day life and I can't shop for groceries well. I would definitely appreciate like just some guy who's like 160 pounds showing me how to shop.
Would you want it to be in order?
Do they know they're on a show?
No.
Okay.
So they're not narrating it at all. They're just going about their business silently.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe like first season, it's, you know, they're not aware, but second season, maybe they do know just to, I don't know, for comparison purposes, maybe, but.
You could probably just stalk somebody at the store. They might not notice.
But like every day though, I'd have to like, I mean, to do that, even I guess to watch this network, you'd have to quit your day job, but I don't know, maybe that would be worth it.
No, well, not necessarily. I mean, you could have a program. I mean, the guy has to have a routine. So, you know, to tune in, like if you want to watch somebody buy groceries, you tune in like on Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like it sort of lays out a schedule and or maybe the like, producers like figure out a schedule and like that gets posted on like a TV Guide Network type shit.
It will be
Do people
great.
Watch scheduled television
great.
These days?
No, so I'm saying maybe this has already been outdated.
Well, I mean,
it would have to be a streaming service.
It would be great to watch other people's dysfunctional holidays.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
Functional holidays.
Like how to deal with like how to deal with like racist grandparents. Like you watch him like deal with his racist like grandparents. That would be awesome.
Or even like other cultures, like dysfunctional holidays. Like I have no idea what the end of Ramadan celebrations looks like, but
yeah,
imagine
it could be now. I don't know.
Chaos.
Yeah.
They
is
eat.
Probably pretty terrible.
They had a thing.
They mostly end with awkward family dinners.
So you want to watch awkwardness? Yeah. You don't want to learn anything. I think the original idea was to learn shit, right?
I don't know. I enjoy both of those things for different reasons. But like,
yeah,
I would watch awkwardness for entertainment.
So your idea is that you would institute a variety of programming to systematically socialize a person?
No. The original idea was just to learn, but you know, ideas change and adapt as new ideas are presented. So. Yeah, I guess maybe it doesn't have multiple channels with, I don't know. I think I've lost my idea already.
I don't understand
well,
how you're
I
not
think...
just pitching the idea of television.
Well, more
I think that's
television
what television,
better.
I think it's over now.
Well, what if your channel had, there were different people that you could watch. I think it would be cool to watch the life of somebody who wasn't like you to kind of see what they go through on a day to day basis. That would be cool.
You know, like learn about other people's cultures and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I've watched like a half of an episode of Friends, so I have some stuff to catch up on.
Yeah, I think it would be really boring, though. Most people are really boring. I'm really boring.
I think we're just proposing that we make people watch different educational and wholesome programming than they already watch.
Do they, though? Because the voice is a thing.
That's still a thing?
I feel like a lot of people spend a lot of time watching garbage television.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like the idea of television when people thought that television would still end up being a force for good in reality.
See, actually, you know what? I think that this idea fits perfectly with legalizing prostitution because television went to shit because of advertising. Because they had to sell space for advertisers and they had to make programs more entertaining so people would watch and watch the advertisers. If we legalize prostitution, there will literally be three different cars you can buy in America. That would be it. Every jewelry store would be closed. We would have nobody would spend their money on much of anything. So then there wouldn't be a need for advertising. So then television could actually be educational again.
Wouldn't you just
saying that prostitution would cause the collapse of commercial capitalism?
I think so. And that's another reason why I support it.
Okay. That gives me another reason as well.
I mean, think about it. Isn't it interesting that the one thing that everybody wants isn't for sale?
Yeah. Let's get back to the idea, though. I think you've sort of stolen back the idea spotlight. They had
actually, I don't know, I didn't think my idea had any weight, really. But
actually, to blur both of those ideas together, they had a thing on The Man Show. I don't know if you remember The Man Show with Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel. They had a thing called Household Tips Taught by Adult Film Stars. So they'd have like a porn actress and she would show you how to like unclog a toilet or something. So
my idea has definitely been done already.
So yeah, that's been
actually done already. But now that I think about it, literally every educational thing that I can think of has been done with naked women at some point.
Naked news. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that
so,
what
just a television network of that? Is that what we're proposing so that people would like actually watch?
Yeah, I guess if they were, I guess if people were naked, it would help, you know, people to watch it. So, mm-hmm.
Although, like the Seinfeld episode, there's good naked and there's bad naked. Like if you're straining weird muscles to vacuum or pick up a heavy object, that's not necessarily sexy.
Well, there's like there's television, like attractive people, and there's reality television attractive people, and we would use the former and not the latter.
Yeah, and I mean, I think all of those are, you know, the bad nudity that's humanizing, though. And while not like sexy, it's still like attractive in a way because it's like vulnerable.
What's going on out there?
Those are good points.
Well, so would you have a title for your weird, whatever this is, educational / nudity or not / whatever this idea is?
I don't know. The Life Channel?
The Life Channel. Do you think you're bad at life? Is that why you want this?
Well, I'm bad at like, you know, the little things I should know at life. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They do have like life hacks. They have Hack My Life. So they do like, and Martha Stewart, but in cooking things, they always teach you the advanced shit that nobody will ever use. Like how to make this obscure dish that with really complicated, high-end, rich shit, or how to make something out of like a MacGyver-type crazy shit, but they don't teach you the basics, like how to make something with a microwave and maybe some diced cheese or whatever. Like they don't, nothing's practical on TV. It's all aspirational, like
fancy. Right. No one has time for that anymore.
Have you seen, have you guys heard of David Reese?
No.
No.
He had a TV show that was called Going Deep with David Reese. That I think was a spinoff on his How to Sharpen Pencils. And then he'd have like a whole episode on like how to shake hands or how to make a paper.
I feel like that's a good episode.
I think he's going too deep. That's like too far the other way. Like it's, yeah, you want the balance of practical knowledge and in a practical amount of period to hear about it. You don't want to be,
I don't know. Sometimes it's like Bob Ross, like watching somebody paint, to have somebody go really mundanely into shit like that.
It's like a form of meditation almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. You called it the Life Channel?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe the Life Skills Channel?
Yeah, that might be better because there's Lifetime
already. Call it the Life Channel, and you can call it TLC for short because I'm sure that nobody has taken those initials.
I'm not so sure that there hasn't been a Life Channel.
I wonder
if you could spell it different, like LYFE.
Yeah. That's cool.
I think.
I don't like it.
Or you can do the new life channel or the real life channel, or you know, like that, like they had to do with Ghostbusters and stuff.
Well, anything else for this idea?
I've got nothing.
Okay, I'll move on to my idea. So I love predictions. Like at the end of the year, I get excited because I can watch like New Year predictions. And I love like Tomorrowland, like Disney Eyes predictions of the future and like what's Elon Musk coming out with. And it probably doesn't surprise you based on the theme of this podcast and that I love like predictions and future shit. I was thinking about, there's a weird thing, with scientists and predictions where it's almost taboo for scientists to make predictions. And I think part of the reason is that, it's embarrassing when you get it wrong. Like if you watch like old videos of people predicting like Apple speeches from 1980s and people predicting the future and just getting things way wrong. And I think that I think we need to get past that because I think there's nothing more important than planning the future. And so having scientists, the smartest people in the world, have a taboo against doing this really important thing is a horrible way to construct our culture. My idea would be for a website for it would only be for experts to make predictions, and I would call it either PredictionNet or WikiPrediction. And so basically you would have like teachers, college professors, maybe not high school teachers like Brent, you might not be allowed, people in like engineering, like societies, like Society of Automotive Engineers, business owners, people like that, scientists. And so they would be able to make predictions on this website. And there would be like real people checking credentials of the people making predictions. And basically, so you could have like self-driving cars is an easy idea of a thing that there's a bunch of people predicting what's going to happen with self-driving cars. So you could make an absolute prediction, like a constant prediction, like this will happen at this year, like 50% of cars will be self-driving in the United States by 2050. So they could make an absolute prediction like that, or they could make predictions based on formulas, like based on other people's predictions and based on things that happen, like 50% of cars will be self-driving by 2050 if the economy doesn't tank and Russia doesn't go to war with us and Elon Musk doesn't get caught with some underage hooker and all this other stuff doesn't happen. And so it's a conditional prediction. And some other thing doesn't get invented that's better than self-driving cars. So you could have absolute predictions, and then you could have predictions based on lots of other things, in that the number, like the date that you're predicting that that'll happen, will change like week to week based on what's happening in the world. And so, yeah, I think that'd be cool. So experts would be able
to make predictions,
huh?
But you also get to take them back?
No, you don't get to take them back. That's one of the most important things, is that there would be accountability. So your identity would be... What?
All the conditions would be on top. You put them at the beginning.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Robert? But... I mean, that the conditions are the... Go ahead.
Can we bet? Can we get Vegas involved? Can we place bets on them?
I wouldn't do it in the website, but somebody could use it externally.
Okay. Cool.
And so, yeah, the experts...
They literally can't stop you.
Yeah. And...
Sorry, what I meant was that any conditions that you put on your prediction would have to be included when you wrote them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You can't go back and say this didn't happen because this, this, and this. Or at least if you do, it doesn't correct your, the fact that your original prediction went wrong.
Yeah, all of the conditions would be public, so other people can see the formula of how you're coming up with the end result prediction. It wouldn't be a hidden, like a black box that you could lie about. And so you could have experts rating the credibility of other predictions and other experts. And so for the predictions that based on formulas, you'd take snapshots of them so you can go back and look at how they did over time. And so basically you're turning predictions into a science, into a statistical thing. So there's accountability. There's evidence. Go ahead.
No. You haven't just found a mechanism for entering in predictions. Over a long period of time, what you have developed is a technology for identifying all the real psychics.
Yeah.
Because in 50 years, you'll find out the people who were right 100% of the time or 99% of the time.
That's true.
And then
but
you can...
My guess is that it would end up weeding out psychics and finding out that there is no such thing as psychics. But people could try.
Yeah, if somebody was...
I was going to suggest that if they're right enough, they should be members of Congress.
Yeah. That I would imagine that if somebody becomes a really good... Like there's a guy named Nate Silver who predicted a few elections really well. He didn't predict Trump, though. So I think he got fucked there. But... he got sort of famous from making good predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already happened before. I mean, it could happen more with this.
Well, I feel like Nate Silver just sort of proves the folly of expert predictions on specific concrete time frame things.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this will show... like how well Nate Silver did, because it's hard to remember. I mean, obviously he struck out on that big prediction, but he still had a lot of hits on some less important predictions. And so you could see that, and you could rate Nate Silver versus other people making bold predictions. And
I think I've seen that before. I think I've seen people write like, or have like a statistician tear apart Nate Silver.
But the idea is, this is like everybody uses this. This is like Wikipedia. Like everybody goes mm-hmm. to Wikipedia. So everybody who does predictions would go through this system. And that way it's easy. You don't have to scour the internet and newspaper articles to find info on who's good at predictions and try to spend weeks looking up articles and things, and it's just there. It's just instantly, and you can run computer programs on it. I think it'd be great for... Go ahead.
Can you run people's ideas on it involuntarily? Like, can I create a profile for Alex Jones?
I think you would have like a credentialed section.
Verbatim enter in his predictions.
Yeah, I think you'd have like a Twitter. There's like the check mark. You'd have like authorized predictors and then like everybody else.
Yeah, but like you could still enter in someone's predictions who aren't participating.
Yeah. But they just wouldn't have the check mark.
Subject that to the rating system and stuff.
Yeah. There would still be like...
So we could publicly shame them?
Exactly.
Well, like when you heard about some new source, like say you've never heard about Alex Jones before, and then you read an article by him and you're like alarmed, then you would look up the credibility rating of his prediction profile. And he'd be like, oh, he's right 0% of the time. I perhaps should go somewhere else for information.
Yeah, it would create more of a meritocracy on predictions than there is now. There's basically nothing now.
I think it'd work great on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, now, I think it'd be great. So
I agree.
The main thing is to have the main goal is to have professionals like scientists and people put stuff in there. I mean, it's fun to put the conspiracies in there and see what happens. But the goal is to give it to turn predictions from this taboo thing that scientists don't do to an actual science where there's feedback and reputations and the algorithms, people get better at it over time. And it'd be also a great training tool for kids because it's interesting. Like if you're trying to teach kids statistics, what do you use now? You use like poker, which is probably bad to teach high schoolers how to play poker, but you could teach them how to write little computer programs to do statistics on predictions. And that'd be a fun way to teach kids how to do math, how to do computer programs, how to weigh reputations of things, think critically. Yeah. And I think it's a good time to do this because with Cambridge Analytica and like clickbait type things, like clickbait has gotten really good over the past few years. Like compared to how it was just 5 years ago, like the clickbait links are just so interesting. They've figured it out. They're figuring out how to parse lots of data and do things with lots of data that they couldn't before. And so maybe predictions, now's the time to try to do the same thing with predictions.
Yeah, for an actual good purpose.
Yeah, for a good purpose, other than getting Trump elected and getting people to click on pop-up ads. Any last thoughts?
I feel like that the way that information moves now, I feel like it's been like underwritten with all this behavioral psychology stuff on behalf of advertisers, and it's all due to the market, like the structure of how they make money.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time.
Like the news became bullshit because of that.
Yeah, markets fuck things up sometimes, but we're out of time. Thanks for calling in, guys. That was Creativity Wasted. Good night.